Good afternoon. It's that time again. Time for Living the Good Life right here on TantalkNetwork.com. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, and this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we're very glad that you're joining us today, or perhaps not live, but later on podcast or on our website as it comes up there in a few weeks. So anyway, we're just glad you're joining us. So have a great day and enjoy the Word of God with us with some great contemporary music. Going to be powerful. Going to be a great, wonderful time today. And it's beautiful weather in Florida. Don't know where you are, but I think most of the weather is calming down in different places, it seems like. And gorgeous, beautiful day right here. And we are praising God for all his blessings and answers to prayer. We talk a lot about our prayer line, and that is prayers@bohmglobal.com. And we encourage you to use that because we are seeing tremendous answers to prayer. And so anybody can use it. Of course, there's no charge. We want you to just remember it. Write down that email address, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and send us your prayer requests. We have a team, many people on the team, that send out those prayer requests that we get to the team members, and then a lot of people pray in agreement. Either Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, or Betty from Indiana, or Shell from our ministry here, we'll send out the prayer request to the team with a prayer written for that specific situation so we can all pray in agreement, which is a wonderful thing. So if you have a prayer need, don't forget to send it in. And also, don't forget to tell others about this prayer line, because God is tremendously, tremendously blessing lives as we agree in prayer together for our needs. The Bible is very clear. Jesus is very clear about praying in agreement and the power that gives us as we pray together about needs. And so we encourage you to make use of our prayer line. Prayers, I'll give it to you one more time. prayers@bohmglobal.com. And that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Our website is www.bohmglobal.com. There you go. That's where it all comes from. It's just a shortened version of Beacon of Hope Ministries, bohmglobal.com. So welcome every one of you. We're glad you're listening today. We're going to have great music, great chat. Nan's coming along here pretty soon, and so will Angel be on. And always look forward to our Sunday show. It is a blessing for all of us that do this show. And next Sunday is a very special day for this show, because we are going to celebrate our 10th anniversary of being on the air every Sunday afternoon right here on TantalkNetwork.com. Angel, is that you?
This is me.
It is you. Hello there. Good to hear your voice. You've been out of town. I've been busy. I've been out of town. We've both been a little, you know, traversing the globe, I guess, here the last few.
Yes, we have. Burning the candle at both ends.
Probably, yeah. So anyway, it's good to hear your voice. Glad you could be on the show today. And just talking about the blessings of the show. Now, next week, we will celebrate our 10th anniversary, 10 years to the day on the air right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. 10 years every single Sunday afternoon. Do you have something you want to say about that? Feel free.
That's amazing.
And it is.
That is just an accomplishment. It's really amazing. 10 full years of being on the radio.
Yeah.
Definitely something to celebrate.
It is, and we're going to celebrate next week, and we'll talk about that. We'll have almost all of our radio team members on, and at least for a little segments. And it's also Resurrection Day. We couldn't have planned that any better, could we, Dr. Angel?
No, we could not have planned that.
Certainly was not planned when we began 10 years ago to know that we would end up 10-year anniversary on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. But, you know, it says a lot about this show because we are all about people coming alive, as Jesus did out of that tomb, people coming alive out of their various tombs, whatever that may be. You want to address that here before we do this first song?
Well, you know, we are all kind of going through this thing called life, but, you know, sometimes we're just struggling. And, you know, Jesus is the life and coming alive. It's what a fitting day to have the 10-year anniversary on Resurrection Easter
Sunday. Isn't
it? Sunday,
oh, my gosh.
We are breathing life and, you know, through the Word of God and to our listeners. And as we're being breathed into as we do this, I mean, this is a ministry for us as well as our listeners.
Oh, absolutely. It is. It always is. I mean, there's not a show that goes by that I am not blessed by being here, participating, doing the show. It's just a real blessing to me. I was out of town in Texas last week. You were out of town. And I missed it. I missed doing the show. It just is part of me every Sunday afternoon for 10 years. I tell you, if you don't do something, you know, when you're used to doing it, it feels a little strange. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, Nan's on her way here in a moment. We are going to begin with a Chris Tomlin song, one that I can't help from singing all the time. And so when you hear the title here, How Can I Keep From Singing? That's the title. And I'll tell you what, it really, this song just will get right down on the inside of you. Here we go, Chris Tomlin.
There is an endless song, echoes in I can see when I lose my step and I fall down again. I can see 'cause you pick me up, see 'cause you're there. I can see 'cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can see with my last breath, see, for I know that I'll see with the angels and the saints around the throne. How can I keep from seeing?
Praise God. You are loved by the King, and it should make your heart want to sing. I love that Chris Tomlin song. We are actually going to start today in John 12, and then we're going to go to John 6, because today is, what is today? Some of you may know, this is Palm Sunday, and because next Sunday is Resurrection Day, Easter. And let's do a couple verses here in Palm Sunday and tie that in with John 6 in just a moment. But before we do, let's bow our heads and let's agree together for a great show and a great teaching of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord. We praise you from the bottom of our hearts that we have this opportunity to be live on the air every Sunday afternoon, giving out the Word of God in strength, in power, and in anointing. And God, today is no exception. We believe you and we receive it in advance and praise you for an amazing time talking about you, celebrating your presence, celebrating Palm Sunday, celebrating all that is you in our lives. You are our mighty God and we love you. Lord, we ask that you bless every listener, no matter if they're listening now live or later on, in some part of the world, wherever they might be. We ask your blessing on each one, that they will know you in a greater measure as a result of this time together today. They'll draw closer to you, and of course, you always draw close to us. So we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Throw in your curveball, Dr. Angel. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse 12. Because it is Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday is actually Palm Saturday evening. It was not on Sunday morning, as we so often think it was. It was actually on Saturday evening. And this huge crowd had arrived for the feast. They heard Jesus was entering Jerusalem. They broke off palm branches and went out to meet him. And they cheered. They cheered, "Hosanna." Hosanna means save now, we beseech thee. So they were singing Hosanna, Hosanna as Jesus got on this little donkey and began to ride into Jerusalem. And so they were at this point, a few days before the crucifixion, they were all about Jesus. They were all about his kingship, his lordship. They were singing Hosanna, save now, we beseech thee. And blessed is he who comes in God's name. Yes, the King of Israel. Jesus got a young donkey, rode it just as the scripture had said. He was fulfilling scripture. Angel, I think it's so interesting that just a very few days before this same group of people yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him," they were yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna, he who comes is in God's name, the King of Israel." Very interesting, don't you think? The paradox here. You want to talk about that?
I agree with you. It is interesting, and the timing. But when you look at kind of the flow of how this happened. Like, this was a high point of Jesus's ministry. And he's
right.
coming in and he's, you know, being cheered along and the crowds are behind him. And then within that week, he hits what I would say on the human perspective would look like his low time of his ministry, where people, you know, are turning their backs on him
right.
and turning him over crucifixion. But in our own lives, this happens to us a lot of times when we have this great spiritual success or this, these moments that are, you know, high points for us, it comes right behind a very, very low spiritual point for us or a difficult time for us.
Exactly. And don't you find it interesting that, and we know that the devil works overtime to try to bring discouragement, defeat, and get our eyes off the ball, so to speak, and get our focus gone and all messed up. And really, the devil succeeded in that, but God used that for his purpose a few days later, because Jesus did have to go to the cross, and he did have to be crucified for our sins and our sicknesses. So even though he was very popular a few days prior to the cross, and even though the devil tried everything to kill him, etc., the devil was evidently not banking on the resurrection. Do you want to talk about that?
No, he wasn't. you know, and it's funny because it was the biggest, you know, defeat of Satan that there was spiritually in that moment. And I think if you look at it through human eyes, you know, in our flesh, you know, we don't always know what's happening in the spiritual world behind, you know, things a lot of the times. And what
right.
it could feel like in our flesh is, oh my gosh, this is like the world is against me. I'm being tortured. I'm being crucified. But yet Jesus knew his purpose. He knew it that from the moment he stepped foot, what he was here to do and fulfill that. And I think
right.
we get distracted when we don't know our spiritual purpose and we're not sure of where God has us or where he wants us. And if what we're doing is in his will, and it's easy to believe the distractions.
Oh, it's so easy to believe the distractions, isn't it? And to get caught up in it. It's like this was a crowd mentality here, you know, which can sometimes be good and sometimes be bad. And on Palm Sunday, it was amazingly good, wasn't it? And it also fulfilled Old Testament prophecy in Psalm 118, starting with verse 8, around in there, that the Messiah was going to come riding on a colt, and your king comes riding a donkey's coat, a colt. And so this was a fulfillment of prophecy, and so the crowd really played right into what God the Father had already ordained and planned, right?
They did. I think that I kind of think there's an irony there, because they knew.
Yes.
They all knew the prophecies of Messiah.
Right.
Wasn't, you know, that's something they were taught in their family and their culture and their religious and the time that they could remember. So they knew these prophecies, and to be living it, yeah, they did totally fall into it.
Well, I like verse 18, I believe it is, let's see, 16, in the Message Bible. I'm going to read this because it shows the attitude of the disciples. Right after, here's Jesus riding into town on this colt, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy. And it says in verse 16 of John 12, the disciples didn't notice the fulfillment of many scriptures at the time. But after Jesus was glorified, they remembered that what was written about him matched what was done to him. Talk to me about that.
Oh, I think that something we all kind of fall into from time to time.
Right.
That, you know, when you're living in it, we kind of get blindsided. We get tunnel vision. We don't have good perspective. And it's hard to see like the grand plan or the higher purpose or where this is going. And the same is true for them. Once they were removed in time and, you know, space, they were like, oh my goodness, we just lived through this prophecy.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
Can you imagine how they felt? Oh my, you know. But at the time, I think they are still like a lot of the people thinking Jesus was going to be a political leader of Israel, going to rise up and be this political leader. And it really wasn't that. That is not what Jesus came to be. He did not come to be a political leader. He came to be the savior of our souls, you know. And they really didn't realize it. And the crowd would just went along with this. Oh, there's that guy. There's that guy that's healing and doing all kinds of miracles. That's him. Look over there. That's him. And the uproar of the crowd was crazy. I mean, it was pretty wild, I think, at this point, you know?
I could only imagine that it probably was quite intense to be there, and definitely crowd mentality, you know, when one person, you know, when crowds start doing that, we kind of get involved and get engaged in it.
Right.
And, you know, I think it kind of goes to show that sometimes with our human perspective, we're expecting God to do things a certain way. Oh, it's got to be
right.
A political leader, because we're being politically persecuted, and he does it different, and then we don't recognize it in the moment.
Boy, that's a huge point, Dr. Angel, because I think we all can fall into those traps where we do think things are going to go a certain way because of our situation, perhaps, or maybe something we're suffering that God is going to do, relieve us from our suffering a certain way. And these disciples and a lot of the people that followed Jesus really thought that the way would be a political leader, you know, somebody that would have such a huge following that he would rise to prominence as a political leader. But that was not God's plan.
No, that was not.
Yeah. So,
but, you know, I think we do that all the time. I think we try to figure out the way, you know, God's going to play something out. And then
right. When
it doesn't happen that way, we're kind of missing it or feeling like God's not doing what he, you know, not being God in the moment, but he is.
But he's
got a bigger purpose, higher purpose, and sees the whole picture beginning to end. And so we miss it.
Right. Yes. And so often we do miss it. Yes. Because of that. Nan has just joined us. And Nan, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm in the control room. Would you please make sure the AC is on, because it's pretty hot in here. So I'm sorry to have to say that on the air, but we're kind of burning up in here. But anyway, yes. And Angel, so often our human tendency is not to see things the way God sees them, but only through our human eyes, you know?
Yeah, it's that tunnel vision that we get. And especially when you're in the moment. When
Did you say tunnel vision or carnal vision?
Yeah.
Because
it's kind of both.
It's kind of both, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it is. And we do. We get that tunnel vision, that carnal vision. We're only seeing things from our perspective in this moment, at this time. And when we're experiencing it, it's even more of a blind side for us.
Yeah, it really was. So, Nan, we're in John 12. She's ran into some traffic. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, I was listening.
John 12:17. Before we go to John 6, the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, was there giving eyewitness accounts. It was because they had spread the word of this latest God sign that the crowd swelled to a welcoming parade. The Pharisees took one look and threw up their hands. It's out of control. The world's in a stampede after him. Very interesting, isn't it? So a lot of these people that were there on the day of Palm Sunday, which was really Saturday evening, after 6 o'clock, those people were part of the crowd that were there when Lazarus came out of the tomb. So everybody is talking. I mean, this had to be wild, Angel, that everybody's talking about this. Did you know what happened? There's that guy right over there, and he was walking around. Lazarus was alive and well. And can you imagine the conversation that swelled in that crowd that day? Woo! Talk to us about that, Angel. Love it.
Oh, I am sure that this had to be a very exciting, these are exciting events. I mean, they saw a man who was dead being raised from the dead.
Right.
You know, this huge crowd of people coming together and, you know, Hosanna and the palms. And yet, yeah, it had to be really exciting and intense. And thinking about it, how did the word spread? It had to spread, you know, word of mouth. People had to tell people.
That's right.
Cell phones and Facebook and all those emails
right.
that we can flash
yeah.
to something instantly. So this is something that, you know, people were talking about actively.
Well, and this is one reason Jesus did so many miracles, because they drew attention to the fact that he had to be more than a man. He had to be the Messiah, even though some people said, oh, no, it can't be the Messiah. No, he wasn't going to be born there. He was going to be born in Bethlehem. They didn't know that he really was born in Bethlehem, not from Nazareth, you know, and all these things. Miracles cause curiosity, and miracles cause faith. Talk to us, Nan. Now I'll go back to Angel in a minute.
Well, you said the miracles cause faith.
Yes.
You know, that is so much evident in our lives.
Yes.
As we're having faith, believing for whatever, and then it comes through, and then God performs a miracle in our lives or in the lives of our family, our friends, or, you know, and people talk about that. You know, I mean,
we
come together on Wednesday nights, and there's times we talk about at our gathering. Guess what God did?
You know,
we'll share, and different ones at times we'll have opportunities to share, and it just increases our faith to hear that. And so those are like miracles in our lives when God moves in our own lives.
Absolutely.
And we can relate to the scripture here of how they were reacting to, wow, look what God did. But do you remember when?
Right.
That person had that. It's gone.
Right.
You know, and the excitement that builds up. Like you said, that's why Jesus did so many miracles.
Right. And I find it interesting. This was just a short time after he raised Lazarus from the dead. And on that day in John chapter 11, we talked about it a few weeks ago, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead that day, he declared himself one of those other I am statements. There's seven of them in the book of John that we've been studying in this series we're doing right now, Free to Live. And on that day, he declared himself, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he shows it by bringing Lazarus out of the tomb after he'd been in there 4 days. I mean, you talk about stinking without any embalming fluid or anything like that. And he brings him out of the tomb and says to somebody, unwrap him and let him go. And you tell me this wasn't a huge event. Everybody's talking about it. We're still talking about it 2,000 years later. Angel, comment on that, will you, before I go back to Nan on this. And then we're going to cue up another song. Go ahead.
You know, it was a huge event, and they were monumental events, and for us, they're faith-building events. And,
yes,
you know, a miracle is just that. It's just that. A miracle is something that supernatural intervention has to have take place. And so you can't explain a miracle. You can't deny a miracle. You certainly couldn't deny a dead body for 4 days being raised back to life without supernatural intervention. And so, yeah, it builds faith, and it definitely gives people something to talk about.
It definitely does. And we often say, I often use this in my teaching, you can't have a miracle without an impossibility. In our human knowledge, it's impossible for a person that's been dead 4 days to come back to life. That's a miracle. Talk to us, Nan, before I cue up this song.
Well, what came to my mind as we were talking, you know, raising someone from the dead is a pretty big doggone miracle.
Okay? You think?
But
really?
I think, and it serves as an example to us, but I think maybe some people listening may say, but, you know, he hasn't raised someone from the dead in my family.
Right.
Or whatever, but what they need to look at, the miracles in, they may think their miracles are lesser than this one. Miracles are miracles.
Exactly.
You know? And we need to look at our own lives, and as we pray and trust God and believe for miracles, when he performs those miracles, acknowledge that.
Absolutely.
And pay close attention that just because someone didn't get raised from the dead does not mean he just did not perform a miracle in my life by giving me the job that I was needing, selling the home I was needing to sell, by buying the home, providing the home that I need to buy, whatever, you know, in relationships, whatever. There are miracles that are happening in our lives. And I think as we realize that, we look at and see and acknowledge and focus on those miracles, it just increases our faith. You know, miracles will come and keep coming, and he will do that.
Absolutely. And because of what you just said, I'm changing what this next song is because I totally agree. And I think this song is going to make that point. Angel, talk to her a minute while I get this queued up, this other song. Go ahead.
Well, and I think that's, you know, you're right, Nan. And when we talk about, you know, it's easy for us to miss things when we're looking through tunnel vision, carnal eyes. We miss those miracles sometimes in our life, and we don't acknowledge that this was a miracle that, you know, God provided for this, or gave me that job, or, you know, helped me get through this difficult situation. And I think that's kind of sometimes part of that tunnel vision we get.
Right.
When we're in the moment, I mean, we miss some of what's happening in the supernatural and the spiritual realm.
Exactly. Exactly. So when you guys were talking like that, I thought, no, that the song I had planned was not right then. It's the song I was playing all the way to the radio station. And it is by Chris Tomlin and Danny Gokey. And it is Impossible Things. I've played this so many times, probably 100 times already in my car. Seriously, I love this song and it just builds my faith. Enjoy it.
You set the captive free. You lift the heavy burden. And even now, you are lifting. Darkness surrounding me. There you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. Yeah, there is no healer like the Lord our Maker. There is no equal to the King of Kings. Oh, our God is with us. We will fear no evil, 'cause you do impossible things, yeah. You do the impossible possible. One word and the walls start falling. One word and the blind will see. One word and the sinner's forgiven. 'Cause you do impossible.
Amen. Even now, he's lifting you, dear audience member. He certainly is me. I love that song. You do impossible things. Chris Tomlin on his new album, and he's also got Danny Gokey on that song. The album is Never Lose Sight, and I love that album. I've been playing it a lot. Nan got a poem from God. Let's hear from it right now. As that song was playing, I saw you in there writing up a storm.
Yeah, I was. I will move in your situations. Many miracles you will see. Bring your concerns to my throne. You will receive. You'll be free. I am no respecter of people. What I'll do for one, I'll do for you. You will receive so much from me. Your issues, you will make it through. Believe me, I'll move for you. It will all work out and be okay. I love you so very much. Your miracles will come. That is what I say.
Whoa, whoa. I kind of like that's powerful.
I like that at the end.
Oh, Angel, what do you think of that? That was a good word from God. Ooh.
You know, it's an amazing word. And
yeah.
And it's true. And I think a lot of times, you know, we may see God move in other people's lives, but we're like, what about me? What about my life?
Right.
And we're missing it, but maybe we don't think we're worthy of it.
Yes. You know what? You're right, counselor. That is one of the big reasons people don't receive their blessings, don't you think? They feel like Romans 8:1 says there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so many people don't understand that, and they allow the devil to just play havoc in their brain. And Nan, I want you to read that poem again, and we're going to talk more about this. Go ahead. One more time. That was really good. Is there a title to it?
It's titleless at this point.
Titleless. All right. Okay.
I will move in your situations. Many miracles you will see. Bring your concerns to my throne. You will receive. You'll be free. I am no respecter of people. What I'll do for others, I will do for you.
Amen.
You will receive so much from me. Your issues, you will make it through. Believe me, I will move for you. It will all work out and be okay. I love you so very much. Your miracles will come. That is what I say.
Whoa. That's good. And if you want a copy of that, because Nan's going to send it to me because I'm asking her to right now, you can email me, pastor@bohmglobal.com, and I'll send you a copy. pastor@bohmglobal.com. All right. So, Nan, you want to comment on that before we go back to Angel?
Well, there may be people listening who don't understand this poem thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you please?
Writing poems and this type of thing is a gift that God has given to me.
Right.
Many years ago.
Right.
And he does this, and he does this many times on the radio show. During songs, many times he will inspire poems. So this poem was not something that was written, you know, last week in preparation for this show.
Right.
This poem was literally inspired just then, right during that song, you know.
Exactly.
And about the poem, it's a pretty powerful pointed poem. How does that sound?
Yeah.
It's a very pointed in what it says, and you know, and at the end, I like the way he put it. He said, your miracle will come. That is what I say. And in the word of God, there's so much that he says that he will give to us. There's so much that is available to us. And I agree with you, too. Many times people live below the level that they can live spiritually because they don't think they're worthy of receiving whatever it is. But his word says it's for them. Just as it's for you, Pastor, things are for Angel, things
Amen.
Are for me. He's no respecter of people, as he said in that poem.
Yes, and I thank you for explaining that, because that's just a gift that God has given Nan, that she's able to hear his voice and write what he's saying during these songs. Happens a lot, and we give God the glory and praise. And Angel, because so often we live below the amount of blessings that we could be living in, What do we need to say about that to our audience? Because, and we're going to go to John 6, so you can all find that. Because so often, that's the way human nature is. As Nan is saying, we live below what God really wants for us to be at. What level?
We do. I think, you know, part of it, maybe we don't feel like we're worthy. Maybe we don't feel like we're living a good enough life before God. Maybe we see ourselves lesser or less than. That's not true. We're
right.
All, you know, purposely designed by God. And he has a plan and a purpose for every life. And there isn't such thing as a perfect person. There's
right.
No such thing as getting
really?
It right. We can't. We're human. That's why we need God, you know, that's the whole purpose. And it's, do you have a heart that loves him? Do you have a heart that speaks for him? Because those are the hearts he's looking for.
Right. Absolutely. And yes, I do think that so often we live below what God has for us because that's kind of what we've grown accustomed to, you know? And really, God wants us to be challenged to really believe him for the miracles and all that he wants to do in our lives. So, yeah. Ugh. So often we just live below, don't we? We just live below it. And so, as a reminder today, God is just saying, hey, let's really believe that there can be more miracles, more answers to prayer, more blessings than we ever thought possible, because that's who he is. And that's what he wants to do. And we're going to John 6. And in John 6, Jesus goes across the Sea of Galilee, and a huge crowd follows him, attracted by the miracles they'd seen him do among the sick. And we've been talking about in this show today that miracles are what we call the dinner bell to salvation, because miracles cause people to pay attention. Miracles cause us to say, hey, there's something going on here. You know, what are you doing here, God? What's going on? Miracles are extremely important in our lives, and we need to begin to really understand that and walk in it. And so often we are really not aware that God wants to bless us to the extent that he wants to. Talk to me about that, Nan.
I can remember a time in my life that I definitely lived below that because of, you know, things I felt I had done or whatever, you know. And it's not necessarily big, you know, horrific kind of things or anything like that, but just attitude.
Right.
A lot of times
sure.
with mine was a lot of attitude. And yet he loved me. And he
right.
had all these blessings for me and all
right.
these miracles for me that, you know, I just had to get past that. And he will help you get past that. Get past that. And, you know, be able to move forward and receive those miracles that he has available to us.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'd much rather live life receiving those miracles. It makes life so much.
Well.
It's enriching.
It's
enriching
isn't it?
In our lives.
And I think it's interesting in John 6 that people have been hearing about the miracles. They had seen him heal the sick people. And so they were following him because they wanted a blessing in their life too. Talk about this, Angel, because this is good that we want to follow the God of miracles. We want to be a part of the blessing that he has for each of us, don't we?
Absolutely, we want it. And you're right. I think there was part of what drew that crowd and that attention is they wanted to get in on it. They wanted some of this, but what was happening, you know, this is big stuff that's going on and happening.
Yeah.
I'm sure each of them had some kind of need and some kind of hope and desire that, you know, God would intervene in their life or step in and give them, you know, that miracle or that help or whatever it was. And so, yeah, I think they were there because they were wanting to get in on it. They were needing, they were seeking.
They were seeking. And I find it very interesting that Jesus does not do a healing service here that we know of. It's not recorded in John 6 that this was a time to heal the sick. But instead, he shows us another side of his nature. And another, and it's that he is our provider, you know? And here in John 6 is the first time that he calls himself the bread of life. And instead of, even though they were following him because they'd seen him heal so many people, and perhaps there were tons of people in that crowd that did get healed that day, we don't really know. We just know that the focus that day was not on healing the sick, and which reminds me that so often we need to make sure that we are lining up with the focus that God has in his purpose for us in that particular day or that particular event. Nan, did you have a comment on that? Or no, go ahead, Angel, on that. Because so often we second guess what God's about to do, don't you think?
We second guess it and then we kind of try and make the plan for him. We think sometimes we try
yes.
to work out the details and be like, okay, God, here's the plan.
Here's the plan. Yeah, just bless
then,
my plan, God. Bless my plan. Right?
I think we do. I think that's kind of, I don't know, maybe part of just our finite view. We seem to think we know the best way that everything should work out.
Right.
So God should just kind of like we're putting in our order for a meal. We're putting in our God order sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, Yeah, and God doesn't work that way. And, you know, we can definitely share how we would like to see it worked out with him, but he's still God, and he's going to do what's in his best plan.
He's going to do, right. He's going to do what needs to be done. And in verse 5 of John chapter 6, Jesus looks out and sees this huge crowd that arrived. And he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread to feed these people?" Now, I love the rest of verse 6 here in John 6 because it says he said this to stretch Philip's faith. He already knew what he was going to do. And I made this point very strongly Wednesday night on our Facebook Live post, which, by the way, is called hashtag WonderBread, WONDER, WonderBread, because Jesus is the Wonder Bread, right? And here, he already knew what he was going to do. And I find this fascinating, Dr. Angel, because so often we, as we said a minute ago, we try to dictate how we want God to work in our situation, what we want him to do. And yeah, just do this, just do it this way, and I'm going to be happy. Talk to me about that. Nan's busy in there writing something, so let's go with you, Dr. Angel. So
no, I think we definitely do that. And I don't even know sometimes if we're conscious that we're doing that.
Right.
And then we get disappointed when, you know, God doesn't work it out in the way that we kind of plan for him to do it.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, it can be difficult for us to get through those moments, you know, especially when you're going through this really difficult time and we kind of think God needs to do this and he decides to go a different route and we're not looking for that. We're not seeing that this was his plan all along and this is taking care of it. And in the meantime, we're kind of getting hardness of heart because we're feeling like he's not
exactly
there. He's not coming through.
Yes, he's not coming through. Well, I find it interesting here in verse 5 that Jesus starts his conversation with Philip by saying, "Where can we buy bread to feed these people?" So he kind of asks that question, and Philip says, "Well, if we had 200 pieces of silver, it wouldn't be enough to buy bread for every one of these people to get a piece." And finally, you know, it's beginning to dawn on Philip and Andrew and some of the disciples that going nearby to buy food for, we think this crowd was about 20 to 25,000 people because there were 5,000 men. So you add the women and children, 20 to 25,000 at least people sitting here that were hungry. There was no store around that could have had enough food to feed that crowd. Nan, you want to comment on that before I play this song?
Well, we'll get into it in a little bit about how he managed to feed them. But I think that in our own life, you know, sometimes like Angel said, we don't necessarily know how things are going to work out.
Right.
How's it, you know, we can speculate. This is the way it's going to be or that's the way it's going to be.
Right.
And many times our speculation is wrong anyway. So
it's
you might as well not waste your time speculating.
Exactly.
You know, it's just a waste of energy and emotional well-being. Just don't even do that. Just trust God, and he will move in the situation. He will perform the miracle in your life that you need.
So that with that said, I propose that if we don't know how he's going to do it, but we know that he loves us, it is based on this concept that is found in this song by Chris Tomlin. Yes, I'm playing a lot of Chris Tomlin today because I've been listening to a lot of Chris Tomlin. Good, good Father. That's the nature of God we need to take to the bank right here. He's good. He's got a good purpose.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. For answers,
can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me.
Praise God. Woo, good, good Father.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
Amen. Praise God. I love that song. Reminds us of his nature. Good, good Father. Nan, you got another poem. I saw you writing in there.
Yes, this one does have a title now. I have miracles for you. I have great plans for you. I love you so very much. I see those things that you need. Your issues I will touch. I will work all things in your life. I will send wonderful miracles to you. Do you believe that I'll move? I can definitely be dependent upon. This is so true. So look to me for your needs. Your miracles are on their way. You can look back at this time and can strongly say, he gave me miracles.
He certainly did. He gave me miracles. Praise God for that, right? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So he does do this, and he is doing this here in John chapter 6. Great, great poem there. Angel, comment here on how he does things even though it's not our plan.
Yes, he does. And usually my experience, I found out it's not my plan at all.
Right.
Not usually even really close to what my plan is. And,
right.
You know, when you look back, you know, in the moment, you know, you're still maybe frustrated, maybe disappointed, maybe a little, I don't know, negative feelings in there. And then when you look back after you've gone through it and then you can really gain that perspective, you're like, oh my gosh, like I am so much better because God did it this way instead of that way.
Isn't that the truth?
Your faith grows.
Oh my.
You grow as a
yes.
person. Like all growth happens. It's true. It's the refiner's fire. And you know,
right. Yeah. And don't you love it that he always has a plan? It's just maybe different than what we think it should be. But in this situation, he ends up doing, he wants to teach them a new concept here. He's already been talking about the fact that he's the healer, and he's been doing this time and time again. But in John 6, you see another side of him. I am the bread of life. And he is using, I love word pictures like this, and I love these little examples that Jesus did when he taught and how he actually fed them physically to show them that they needed the bread of life, him, spiritually. Talk about that, Nan, before we go to break.
There are times maybe that people don't realize they really need him spiritually.
Right.
They don't identify they have a need.
Right.
You know, and there's people in our lives who don't realize they have a need.
Yeah. Right.
And I would venture as far to say that if you feel led by the Lord, maybe share with someone.
Right.
You know, you can share lovingly with, you know, hey, God's got this for you. is for you to receive. You know, it's available. Read the word.
Amen.
It's available. He wants to give it to you. You know, you're living below the level that you can live spiritually.
Yes, because you're not accepting
this miracle in your life. Woo. You're not receiving this blessings that he has for you in your life.
Boy, that's a good word, and that's for all of our audience right now, and the three of us, too, as we do this show. We don't want to live below what we can and what God has for us. We want to grab it. We want to be there, present in the moment. And I know, Angel, you can talk about that concept in a minute. Let's talk. I talked about the prayer line at the beginning of the show. We have something new at Beacon of Hope, and it happens on Wednesday night during our Bible study, usually. Sometimes I do these from my home office. But, Angel, what's going on? Can you tell us what's going on at Beacon of Hope here with this? Are you there?
I'm sorry, I'm here.
Okay.
Sorry, my phone hit on the mute. I missed the last part of what you were saying because I was trying to take my phone off mute.
Okay, I said on Wednesday nights, besides Bible study, what are we doing now, this new venture that has happened now for the last 3 months probably?
Oh, it's amazing. Facebook Live. And, you know, it comes right out of the Bible study. It is, you know, it's short, it's engaging, it's practical, it's applicable. It really is like the bow on something that makes our life better, a new, you know, the scripture given to us in our way we live every day.
Yeah. It's easy practical. Practical.
It's so practical.
You know, years ago, many years ago, when I first began to pastor and was my own church in 1985, but even before that, I knew when I was teaching Bible studies and was a youth pastor that my ministry is practical Christian living. I know that. God has told me that over and over again. It's not so much about lofty theological concepts, but how the Word of God applies to our lives on a daily basis. And that's what we're doing on Facebook Live on Wednesday nights, right at 7:30 usually. Some weeks we do it from my home office, but usually Wednesday night live, 7:30. Nan, talk to us about that. Angel's got it right. Practical Christian living, that's what we're doing in about 15 or 20 minutes.
Well, it's just really exciting to hear that. You know, it's exciting to be live listening to it, you know, and people can listen to it later on, of course. But it's really an exciting outreach of Beacon's ministry that is actually reaching out to hundreds of people.
Yes.
Are tagging on it, sharing it, looking at it. And, you know, the Word of God is going out.
Amen. So we encourage you to join us. We're doing hashtags now, and we have done the last 5 or 6 weeks, so it's easier for you to find them on Facebook. Just go, this past week was hashtag Wonder Bread, and the week before that one was hashtag Blame Game, I believe.